Killer from Kansas City area. And she has a birthday today. This is her birthday. So everybody, real quick, blow her a kiss. Ready? Mwah! We love you. Bunches and bunches and bunches. So Kim, take it away, honey.
Thank you. Well, I want to thank Deb and Sheila, Nellie, and Mary Ellen for the opportunity to teach today on my birthday. It's a privilege. I'm going to screen share just a few slides. So let me get that up. I think I need to get the host to enable me to screen share. Do you know how to do that? Okay, great. Thank you. So November is a great month, and giving thanks is easy to do around Thanksgiving, but we want to do it all year long when it's easy to be thankful and in times of adversity. So if you'll turn to Philippians 4, please. Philippians 4, we're going to read the same verses our other two wonderful teachers shared. And I kind of forgot about this being the theme verse, and I thought that we had just all collaborated ahead of time. But Philippians 4, in these verses, to me, these verses mean and show how giving thanks and peace often go together in God's word. So Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so thanksgiving comes first. And then that's followed by peace. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts. And minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and what's the result? The God of peace shall be with you. It's easy to be thankful when things are going great. How about when you have struggles, potential heartbreak, or loss? This is a book that I read several years ago. It's called Thank You Power by Deborah Norville. And she was a news reporter, kind of a famous reporter. She had a show on for a long time called Inside Edition. And because she got to interview so many families that had tragic things happen to them, she noticed something. And what she noticed was that they made the science of gratitude work for them. The families that were thankful, even amidst the struggles that they faced and the diversity, the death, the tragic things that happened, they were the ones that got through those situations the easiest. And, you know, in my 20s, I had a potential heartbreak. I had a withdrawn proposal. And what I did when I heard the news was I went to the Word and I made a thankful list with 100 things that I was thankful for. And I did not let that affect me at all. I was doing missionary work that year and I needed to be able to help others. And so that's how I took that news. And I think back to that, you know, a lot of times as far as, you know, what I did in that situation. In Jeremiah 15, if you want to turn there, you know, a year ago, I think Deb asked me to teach, and I really couldn't have done it back then. You know, I was going through some hard times, and I just couldn't bend my mind around teaching. My husband was in the hospital and had some health issues and ended up being hospitalized for 6 months. And at the same time, I had some challenges with one of my children. So in Jeremiah 15, you know, and I think about this, that the adversary doesn't need a reason to attack. You know, your heart can break from unkind and unthoughtful words, especially from those that are closest to you, your family members, the people that you really rely on in difficult times. And then at those times, it's more important to go to the word. And in Jeremiah 15, it says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." And sometimes, you know, great words can come from those that are closest to us as well. I remember a time I expressed regret and about a situation, and the reply was, "You made the best decision you could at the time." And then I had to remember that God was in Christ in me even during that difficult time too. So I know that's true, that I did make the best decisions that I could at the time. In Colossians 3, if you'll turn there, please. We have to remember that we have seen deliverance from God before, and we will see it again in those difficult times. And, you know, if anybody had told me how difficult raising teenagers could be, I don't know if I would have had kids. Thank God the pediatricians didn't tell us that right before we got pregnant. You know, all we thought about was how cute the babies are, right? In Colossians 3 and in verse 12, it says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And here's that peace: let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in one body, and be thankful." If you don't have peace, it's hard to be thankful. So we want to get to the point where we're peaceful and we can be thankful. Extend the mercies that you've been shown to your family members, especially in these difficult times. Forgive on small, insignificant matters. Have compassion. Direct the focus away from how you feel in yourself and onto others. Because if they say something hurtful or they're going through something, you know, it may be just that they're going through something. And don't think that you know, about how that person has hurt you in the past. If someone says something hurtful to you, pray for them. Take this time with the pandemic to connect with other people. Check in and have a kind word. Last night, I had the chance to connect with someone that I haven't talked to for 18 years. It was like no time had passed, and we shared some of the challenges over the past 18 years. She lost her husband in 2014 and shared some of the, you know, challenges with her daughter and her grandchildren. And we shared the word and what we had to be thankful for. Philippians 3. Oh, and I wanted to bring this up. Sometimes there's family issues. You know, I'll go back. Sometimes, you know, we have issues with our spouse, our kids, our siblings, our parents. Has anyone ever been ashamed of your family members? Be honest, raise your hand. Is it just me? Because ashamed in God's word means disappointed in your expectations. So I can't believe I'm the only one. Or embarrassed, or had that feeling of being let down. There's no perfect family. There's no perfect situation. Life can be really messy. My heart has been so torn that sometimes I thought, how could I continue? How could I go on? But thinking about the past is reliving it over and over. So this is what I wanted to share. I was really concerned this week about parent-teacher conferences because I had no idea what I would hear from the teachers, but it was nice to get this good report about Caden, that he brings personality to the room. He's a positive presence. He likes to have fun. He's an enjoyment to have in class, that he always contributes. He's well-mannered and he's polite. And that was just so great to hear, because I was dreading, every single appointment that I had with every teacher, because from what I could see during this pandemic with him taking hybrid classes, I could see like him behind on every in every class. But I think sometimes what the parents see and what the teachers see are two different things. So that was a real blessing. You know, I just kind of went there prepared to be disappointed, and I walked away with these great positive things, which was a blessing. And Philippians 3 and verse 13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You know, and sometimes when you're going through difficult times, you know, like I did when my husband was in the hospital for 6 months and had challenges with kids or whatever it was, you know, people would say, do something nice for yourself. And I thought, what does that even mean? You know, I'm a full-time working mom. I've gone through college while I was working full-time. You know, I've read textbooks for the last 12 years, so I don't just normally pick up things to do. So I found this slide, and I thought it was kind of appropriate. And if you want to turn to Proverbs 24, we'll look at this. But this is what I sometimes could find to do for myself. Sometimes I like to treat myself at work and do just one thing at a time. To me, this was treating myself, right? I know Deb can relate to that. She's shaking her head. So Proverbs 24, that was the end. I'll stop sharing and see you guys again. Proverbs 24 and in verse 10, it says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." And sometimes I think of that verse, you know, not to think my strength is small, but to think I can get through this adversity. And Mary Ellen shared, and I'm going to reference these verses. You don't have to turn there. But what goes along with this is Psalm 27, 13, and 14. "I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." If we don't believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, we will faint, and our strength will be small. But if we believe to see the goodness of the Lord in this land, you know, that we live in, we will be of good courage. And our strength won't be small, but it won't be small because he strengthens our heart. That's thankfulness, believing to see the goodness of the Lord in every situation. That's how those families could get through adversity and tragic times, you know, and death and health issues and loss. Because they stayed thankful. And because they looked for the goodness of the Lord. So we want to be of good courage. Galatians 6, if you'll turn there. So, you know, my husband had health issues. Sometimes when you're going through those things, you can't share it with everyone. You know, you can't. Someone will say, how are you? And you barely can say you're okay, you know. And, you know, sometimes you have to deal with things that you never thought you would. So in Galatians 2, I'm going to read the Amplified, or verse 2, 6, verse 2. Carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the requirements of the law of Christ, that is, the law of Christian love. There are times when family members cannot bear things on their own, or friends, or believers. So in that situation with my husband, I had to be the one to step in and believe when he couldn't. And, you know, it's not about you in that moment or how you feel. It's about stepping up to the throne room of God's grace and remaining peaceful no matter what the situation is. Philippians 2, and I'm going to read the English Standard Version, verse 13. Says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God is at work within us in those challenging and intense moments of discomfort and pain. He wants to work with us to heal, to encourage, to deliver, and to bring relief to others. Don't worry about being eloquent or pleasing everyone. I had to speak up to doctors, and sometimes I had to show them where they were missing it. They were missing the signs. We are in a fight, which sometimes means inspired action. And in those moments, he's with us and in us in every situation. Psalm 103, and I'll just read it. You don't have to turn there. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's pretty awesome. You know, I went to the grocery store the other day, and it was the middle of the day, and I was getting ready to check out, and the checkout lady said, don't worry, I got your discount. And I said, what discount? And she said, the senior discount. And I, at first, was a little offended, you know. And then I saved $2, so I thought, hey, you know, that's that's okay. But, you know, I just, he'll renew our youth like the eagles, no matter how we feel, you know. We do need to take care of ourselves. We need to do whatever it takes, you know, so that we can go to that word and in those times that we need it to be thankful and to remember the goodness of God. So Isaiah 33, I want to read this. And this is where I thought I would start before I knew what the theme was, because I love this verse. It's Isaiah 33. And I'm going to read the Amplified, but you can follow along. We don't forget all his benefits. We won't remember them all. And journaling can help us remember. Sometimes I forget to journal, so I need something to help me remember to journal. But journaling will help us remember God's benefits. And you know, in the work world, sustainability is a big term, and it determines whether something can continue. You know, like if you make changes at work, they always talk about sustainability. Will you be able to continue it, or will it just go back to the way it was? And Isaiah 33 in verse 6 says, "And life, and he will be the security and stability of your times." So he's our stability. You know, not necessarily your friends or your family or you know, whatever. It's God. God's our stability. A treasure of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear or respect of the Lord is your treasure. In Colossians 3, that's how you can continue on, because he's your stability. In Colossians 3, and we're going to finish it there. How long have I been teaching? Okay. Colossians 3 and verse 15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." So we want to let that peace of God rule in our hearts. And I'll tell you, you know, sometimes when you're going through difficult situations and adversity, sometimes, you know, what you have to do is get peaceful, you know, because it's hard to be thankful unless you're peaceful. It's hard to make good decisions. If you've ever not slept well at night and you wake up and you're not rested, you can't make good decisions. You have to take care of yourself to get to the point where you're peaceful. Sometimes if I'm unpeaceful, I can't do anything else unless I pray or go to the Word. Those are the two things that I do to get peaceful so that I can then be thankful, right? And get through a situation. And, you know, I picked up this book by Billy Graham, and I was looking at it, and, you know, the section was talking about God's journey with us. And, you know, we can't forget that in those difficult times that he's right there. And, you know, in Deuteronomy, it says, "The Lord, he's the one that goes before you. He'll be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." How many times have we heard that in manifestations? You know, we have to believe it. And then this was a great one in Isaiah. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you." And Mary Ellen shared earlier, he won't allow us to be tempted above that which we're able. We can get through any situation with him. In times of adversity, go to him. He will give you rest, he'll give you peace, and you'll be able to be thankful. So thank you very much for allowing me to share today on my birthday.
Thank you very much. It was wonderful.